From Georgia Public Broadcasting, it's On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. We often link post-traumatic stress disorder to veterans or those in battle. Other heroes are also affected. First responders. Atlanta-based paramedic Heather Harp started CARE. That's an organization to help other first responders with PTSD. Heather, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
What does CARE stand for?
Courage Affects Responders Every Day.
Well, and let's get a refresher course first. PTSD, what exactly is it?
Post-traumatic stress disorder. When you are exposed to a lot of trauma in any shape or form, it can affect you. You can have flashbacks and cause a lot of stress, anxiety, trouble sleeping, eating. A lot of times you may isolate yourself and pull back from family, friends. And unfortunately, in our field, we're starting to see that quite a bit. And it has been a taboo subject for quite a long time. And we're trying to bring more light to it so we can get more help for first responders.
Well, first responders are confronting trauma every day. Give us a sort of typical day in the life of a first responder.
So for me personally, I was one of those people that caught every bad call that was on every shift, it seemed like, for a long time. You start your day off checking off your truck, your equipment. And you may be at a fire station posting or somewhere posting in your truck, and then your first call drops, and you never know what it's going to be. For me, there was a lot of days where, you know, you get sent to a car accident, and you think, okay, well, hopefully it's just a fender bender, nobody's hurt, and then you get there and you realize people have been ejected out of the vehicle, that people have passed away already on scene, and it can be very difficult. You have to prepare yourself for the worst and hope for the best, basically, every time you go to a call, because you never know what to expect.
So you're confronting other people's trauma all the time, meeting people really probably on the worst day of their life.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
When did signs of PTSD first show up for you?
For me, it was after a few different calls. As a brand new EMT, one of my worst fears, as a lot of people in public safety are, is having a child death or a bad incident with a child. And for me, it was also if it was one of our own people, a police, firefighter, or EMS person that got hurt. And I ran a call that a police officer was shot and killed in the line of duty. And till this day, it's been several years, I can still remember the thought. I can feel my lungs burning thinking as I was on the ground doing CPR. It was cold outside and the cold air going into my lungs. I can still feel the burning in my lungs when I think about that call. And it was very difficult. And it's something I'll never forget. I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Well, that's the thing. It can be for a lot of people a very isolating experience, mm-hmm. You live inside of your mind. So how did you jump out of that and start a nonprofit?
Well, unfortunately, I had two colleagues of mine that took their own lives. That put me on this mission. And I was hearing more and more of other first responders, even just around Georgia, that were taking their own lives and don't know what led up to that. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, personal issues as far as family life and stuff can, when that's combined with trauma that you're seeing every day, it's a buildup and things happen. So I started on this journey a couple years ago, and it has been slow moving because I wanted to make sure I did everything right and hit a lot of roadblocks along the way. And I believe that we need more resources. You know, a lot of agencies have EAP programs or clergy on staff. And even though we all have the same type of personality and we do the same job, at the end of the day, we're all individuals. And we may all need something different to help us get through those difficult times.
What did you need?
I needed somebody to talk to and to just let me know that what I was feeling was normal. In our business, especially when I started about 10 years ago, it was a very taboo thing. You were told to suck it up. You need to put on your big girl panties and keep it moving. And I thought that I was too weak for the job. I thought something was wrong with me. When I was going to sleep every night, couldn't get the images out of my head. I wasn't sleeping. I was upset. I was crying a lot. And I had a firefighter one day I was working with just happened to talk to me about one of the calls that were really consuming me. And after talking to him for a couple hours and him sharing one of his stories with me, I realized, hey, it's normal how I'm feeling. I'm not alone in this. It's not because something's wrong with me or that I'm weak or not good enough to do this job. It is completely normal how I'm feeling. In that little bit of two-hour time, it was amazing what it did for me in healing over that one particular call.
So is that part of what CARE does for others, just someone to talk to?
Yeah, and, you know, it's peer-to-peer support. A lot of times when we take calls, sometimes, you know, it can go from one extreme to the other. But for the most part, in my experience thus far, has been that people just need to feel justified in how they're feeling. They want to know that they're not crazy. They want to know that how they're feeling is normal, because when we go out and do our job, we have to tuck our emotions away so that we can do our job and focus. And sometimes in the public light, and even with our own selves, we forget that we're human underneath that uniform. And so when we have those human emotions, we kind of have a little panic moment, like, oh God, what's wrong with me? But, you know, just to let someone know, hey, it's completely normal when you're exposed to trauma day in and day out. And that's not counting your personal life. That's just work life. You know, that's a normal biological response for any human being to have trouble with and maybe struggle with sometimes.
So how are you as a program helping first responders across the state?
So we are still new and upcoming. We plan on having clinicians, and we have a couple so far that are very interested in working with us for people that need to go further, maybe seek some counseling. Also bring in CISM, which is critical incident stress management. It's something that's been around, kind of fallen off and on. And training departments, so they will have their own teams. We will be there to support those teams, to train them. And also, if they were to have an incident that included any of their team members and they needed additional support from outside of their personal agency, that we can step in and help them with that.
So what do you do immediately after somebody comes to you and says, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I can't stop crying, like you were talking about, struggling with these feelings? What do you say?
So we allow them to talk. The best thing you can do is listen. It's not about us at that moment. It's about that person and their call. It doesn't matter if we've ran something similar or not. We have to remind ourselves that this is their call and how they're perceiving it. Perception is everything. What may not seem like a bad call to me may be a bad call to that person. And so understanding that is key. You know, allowing them to talk, reassuring them that what they're feeling is normal. If it goes long term, then, you know, we would suggest that they seek counseling or further help outside of what we can do for them.
Do you have counselors who are working with you now?
We do have a clinician right now that we're talking with, and she's starting her own program to help teach public safety as well. And we have a couple more clinicians that we're in the process of talking with to join our team as well.
So one of the things that I've read about PTSD treatment is this kind of process of debriefing right after mm-hmm. what happens. What is that process like?
You know, it's kind of a controversial thing. You know, some people are all for it, and it can be very helpful. It can also help prevent, you know, if you can get those feelings out, they say 24 to 48 hours after the event, that you know, you have a less likely chance of developing PTSD. However, there's nothing in stone that can ever prevent that, because you don't know what that person's going to have in their personal life or what call they may run between now and 3 months from now. And so something else could just trigger them, and then they still develop PTSD. Our hope is that it doesn't go to that, that we can stop it for them. But for some people, I know for me in particular, after I ran some really severe calls that really affected me, I was numb for the first few days. I didn't feel much of anything. I was just numb. And so it may have took, you know, 4 or 5 days before it really started setting in with me. And if I had a day off and finally had a time to be in my own head, then I was like, then it started affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for every individual, it's different. You know, for most people, being able to debrief afterwards is great, but it's not ever something we want to push. We never want to force anybody to have to talk about it when they're not ready, because it's so important that they are ready to talk about it when they're ready.
We're talking about the chronic disorder that plagues many first responders. That's PTSD. Atlanta paramedic Heather Harp knows it all too well. She has started a nonprofit called CARE to deal with other first responders who are dealing with the same kind of thing. How do people live with PTSD?
You know, there's difficult days. There was a time that I was struggling really badly personally. I sought counseling for it and was diagnosed with PTSD, and also had a lot of anxiety to the point where even if I drove by some of the areas where I ran the calls, I would start having flashbacks and feel very anxious and very nervous. And I know I'm not alone in that, because I talk to people every day and I let them know, hey, I don't mind sharing my story. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't feel weak because of it. I know that I'm human and it's okay. And so I don't mind sharing my story with people to let them know, hey, it happens. And there's still days, even though it's been years ago, there's still days I can ride by certain roads and won't ever forget the calls that I ran there and how they made me feel.
I imagine that with PTSD, one of the indicators is to remove person from the source of their trauma. But you are going back into this day after day after day.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, the last thing you want to do is be sent home. Some people, the last thing you want to do is to be sent home. And now you're by yourself at home in your own head. You know,
bad neighborhood.
Exactly. Sometimes your brain can be your own worst enemy. And in our field, you know, we're a big family and we rely on one of each other and we work bad calls with each other. We become very close with each other. We know each other's families. We see each other outside of work. So, you know, sometimes being around our own people, knowing it's kind of that safety net. So for some, they may want to go home. But for most, we still want to go back to work and jump right back in and I don't know. We're a special breed.
Well, do some people leave the profession?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just had somebody tell me the other day they put in their notice because they couldn't take it anymore. And they were leaving the profession altogether. They said, I'm done. I can't handle to see one more child die on my hands.
Ugh, it's difficult for me to imagine, but I know that people rely on first responders, police, firefighters, mm-hmm. paramedics. They want to see them as strong. Is there any danger here, do you think, in showing the human vulnerability of first responders?
You know, I hope not. I really hope not. I hope that people will understand that at the end of the day, we are human. I think sometimes because of the uniform we put on, that we're looked at as, okay, they're not human. They can't have any emotions. They don't have a family life. They're here to do this job, and that's all their life is. And, you know, it's more than that. It is our job, and we do love it, and it does become a big part of our life. But we're also the other person too, the person at home, the spouse, the sister, the brother, you know, the child of somebody. And, you know, we have to take care of ourselves mentally and physically, emotionally, spiritually. And a lot of those things go by the wayside sometimes. And we have to bring light to that and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves in all those ways so we can do our job to our best ability.
If somebody is listening and is a first responder or anybody who is exposed to trauma and feels like they may be suffering, what do you recommend?
You know, please reach out to us. You know, there's resources. There's a 1-800-SUICIDE line that will put you in touch with GCAL and put you in touch with counselors that you can talk with as well. We also have some people that are CISM trained on our team that can help talk with you. I can talk with you. They can reach us at our email. We're on Facebook under Courage Affects Responders every day. Our email is care911advocate@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll help them get the resources that they need, whether it's rehab, whether they need to seek counseling, inpatient, outpatient, whether they just need somebody to talk to and know that we're not going to judge, that we understand what it's like peer to peer. And we are there to hear them and help them all that we can.
Well, before we wrap, for you, that you said some stumbling blocks, you're in startup mode. What do you want to see for the future of care?
Well, I'm super excited. We're having our first big fundraiser event at the end of this month on June 30th, and we're hoping to raise the funds. We're working towards getting our nonprofit status. You know, there's a lot of money involved with that, paperwork and lawyers and all that kind of stuff. And so we're hoping to raise enough money so we can go ahead and get that settled. And for the future, we would like to see more, you know, companies and agencies provide more care for their staff. We also want there to be a safety zone for them so that they don't worry about losing their job or being judged or not being able to come back to work during those times.
Atlanta-based paramedic Heather Harp, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
She created CARE. That's a support group to help other first responders like she who are dealing with PTSD.